Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is soon to come.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to come across these airways and skyways again tonight, bringing unto you the divine word of God. I hope and I pray that all has been well in your family circle and all continually to be well with you and yours. I just thank you for allowing me into your workplace. Thank you for allowing me in to your living room space. I thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byways with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. I just thank you so graciously for continually to tune in to the Old Ship of Zion. And you know God has blessings galore waiting on you. So all you got to do, as I first stated, is ask in his name. Nothing is limited with God. Everything is on the table. So everything that you need from God, all you got to do is go to him in prayer and just call him. He said, ask in my name. And then he also says that we have not because we ask not. So if we don't ask God, then, you know, sometimes our blessing can be delayed. God knows that we're in need of a blessing, but he's waiting on us to come to him in prayer. Hallelujah. And ask him for what you want. Because God has everything, and everything, including you and I, belong to him. Hallelujah. And so I want to send out condolences to those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, 24 hours, the last 8 hours, an hour ago, 30 minutes ago. And we want you to know that you got a friend. You have people. You have disciples. And you have sojourners. You have pilgrims that care about you, concern about you, pray about you each and every day. So you are not alone in your hour of bereavement, because we are praying for you and with you, that God will bring about restoration unto your soul. All right, we're going to go right now on into our intro prayer. Hallelujah. So I'm asking those of you that are listening in our live program on tonight to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer, and we're going to acknowledge our Lord and our Savior. I'm going to present him to some and introduce to others. He's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We know that he is our soon coming Messiah. And so we always come across here and we acknowledge him. God said, all that you do, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. So we're going to go down and acknowledging the Lord. His name is Jesus Christ, as I first stated. And he's a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem. And we're going to acknowledge him on tonight. So I'm just asking those of you that will, as we reference God at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. But we know that this earthly planet that we're living on right now, and we're having our being, and we're breathing the breath of life that you had enabled us to inhale and exhale. But we know that there is a life after this life. And you said that you have already gone on to prepare a place for us. And that would you, when you return, that you would receive us unto yourself. So, Father God, we know that this planet is not our eternal home. But we know that you have lining waiting, a place already prepared. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we will continue in your will and in your way. We will continue to mount up before the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their heart and soul. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name all the glory, honor, and praise. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And we allow the temple of faith, people of God, pilgrims of Jesus Christ, to say amen and amen. I want you to get all your digital devices, may it be your laptop, may it be your tablet, may it be your iPhone. Get all your digital devices and bring them aboard, for we are in need of them. Hallelujah. Get comfortable. You can get your chip and your dip and whatever you want to sip. You can get your latte, your OJ, or if you have any other beverages of your delight, bring them aboard. And we are going to just dig in to the Word of God on this evening. I will be with you 1 hour, and I am already, 17 seconds into my program. So I would desire the beautiful, oh, Lord, have mercy, the beautiful minister that tried to contact me on last evening, and I didn't have the mic on. I am so sorry that I missed that beautiful testimony. And I tell you, it just blessed my very soul, Minister McCain. It blessed my very soul. So I would be so delighted, so honored if you would call in again. I will definitely be looking to hear from you. And may God richly bless you. Hallelujah. And you know, God tell us to be helpers one to another on this journey. You know, God says no one live to his or her own, and no one dies to his or her own. And what that means is when we lose a loved one, someone that's dear to our heart, you know, there is procedures and there is protocols and there is preparation that goes in funeral planning. And even in after you've done the funeral planning, then there is a service that is to be held at some particular area and place. And so we know that when our loved one dies and they are now in demise, and they have to be closed because they cannot, you know, get out of the cooling board or get out of the coffin or wherever they are, you know, in the refrigeration when they come out of there, then someone has to prepare them for the service. If they're going to have a service, then someone has to be there to groom them in the family desired order, you know. So whatever they desire for their loved ones to be laid out in the garments and maybe the makeup and the hair and all of that has to be in preparation. So no one can close themselves that's already dead. I've never known anybody that was already dead to jump up out of the coffin or out of wherever they were and dress themselves and then go on to the cemetery and then dig that hole and then place themselves down in there. They have people in that line of work that is what they do. And so what I am saying is that God says we are to be helpers one to another because we need each other. I need you and you need me. You know that? And so that's the way God planned it, for us to love and to live together in harmony. You know, we got enough chaos every day. You know, when you go out, you know, to the shopping center, the laundromat or the cleaners, you know, or to the post office, just you out on your rounds and you're out about on your lunch break, your coffee break. You hear enough of chaos on the radio, on the television, you know, and in the newspapers and in the tabloids. So, you know, it's just time for us to know what God would want us to do and to do that, which we know is right in the eyesight of God. And you are welcome at the conclusion of this program to call in and talk live with the host. And hopefully this next go around, I will get it right. I didn't have my mic on for my guest. So just please forgive me. Don't hold it against me. You know, so I just thank you so graciously, like I said, Minister McCain. But anyway, we're going to go now into a program that's already in progression. And like I said, at the conclusion of this program, you are most gracious, welcome to call in. And those numbers, I'll give you those numbers. Those numbers are 646-230-74. And the next number is 877-598-8654. I'll call those numbers again, 646-230-74, 877-598-8654. And that gets you on into the studio of the Eldership of Zion. And your host is yours truly, Overseer Janet Swart. So now we're going to go on into the Word of God, because we know that time is of an essence, and I want to get you a good uplifting play of hymns of Zion, if I can, if, you know, the time permits. God says the same, because I'm on God's watch. You know, I'm doing what he has instructed me to do. And sometimes, you know, our program don't always go as planned, because God has another plan outside of our plan. But if God says the same, you know, I will be able to bring you hymns of Zion at the conclusion of this program. So like I said, we're going to go right now on into our program. And so we're going to read our first key scripture on tonight. And it reads this. It says that the flood came and the wind blew and beat on that house and it did not fall. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 7:25. All right, we're going to read now our second key scripture for tonight. And it reads this. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it will be a refuge. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Proverbs 14:26 of the New International Version Bible. All right, so now, hallelujah. We know that there are a lot of us, even in the U.S., that are building houses stronger than ever before. We find out that the hurricanes, hallelujah, and the floods and the tornadoes have caused billions of dollars in property damage in the states across the nation. So at the urging of the businesses and the government, and the hard-pressed, hallelujah, insurance companies, some builders are constructing fortress-like homes with windows, hallelujah. Let me get my lighting here. With windows that can withstand about 120 and 30 miles per hour wind. And it says that the roofs are nailed so strong that they can only be cut off and framed in material that can weather the tremendous force faced by a supersonic jet in a Bolingbrook, Illinois community. It was damaged by a tornado in the late 1990s, I was told. And they said that the company started to construct such a fortified house. And so that is our sermon on tonight, is a fortified house. That's our sermon. I want to say that again. A fortified house. So, like I said, they started to build and construct a fortified house in hope that the idea would catch on. We who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that when it comes to building our spiritual foundation, it must be strong and secure. In today's scripture, Christ made it clear that what foundation must be when he referred to these sayings of the law of Matthew 7:24, which included his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. That was Matthew 5:7. When we receive by faith Christ's word and his work on our behalf, our spiritual lives are founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I would like to add, I do not stand on the shifting sound and fear the storm that rages upon the rock of ages. Now, in order to subdue the storm, we must have a fortified house. And in order for that house to be able to stand the water and the waves that come up against it, then it has to be anchored to the rock of ages. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. We know that insurance policies for the house. We have insurance policies for the car. We have insurance policies for health and life and our possessions. We have investments in stocks and bonds and real estate. We have CDs and securities. And if the Pharisees hedged around the law to protect it, we would board up ourselves against life, howling hurricanes. The name of the game is security. Hallelujah. We know that the word doesn't appear in Psalms 23, but the sensations permeate the passage for you to see. Security is a result of a consequence or trust. To feel safe means we first confined in something or someone to protect you and I. David rested in God over the fragile plate glass of our soul, stirred us away from the confidence in God and the security and spiritual reality. We know that trust in titles and certificates, it entices you and I away from the table set by the Lord. So you have insurance when you're anchored in God. When you have a fortified house that's built on God's solid, sound foundation, you have insurance against eventually the acts of God. He said, I have the assurance that God acts. So when you got God, you got the best spiritual insurance that one can find. I mean, there's no greater insurance, there's no greater security than in Christ Jesus. There is safety in Christ Jesus. And like we said in the law of Proverbs, he said, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it will be a refuge. That scripture reading again is coming out of the law of Proverbs 14:26. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that throughout history. One of the common mistakes, hallelujah, that the military makes is believing that their arsenal of guns and missiles and atomic submarines and nuclear weapons provide a fail-safe defense against our enemies. But I'm here to tell you, they don't seem to understand that God alone provides the ultimate security. We find out that the world is not made safe by military tactics, but by the staying hands of an omnipotent God. We would do well, hallelujah, to remember this even in our own lives. Hallelujah. We are daily reminded that we are engaged in warfare. Our lives are constantly in danger. We know that electronic and the print media spreads an incoordinate amount of time and money informing us, you and I, of escalating chaos and violence in our communities and around the world. We know that the tension and the travail that threatens to engulf you and I are prompting people to purchase all kinds of security devices and weapons. But you know, the only way that you can be secure is to be secured through Christ Jesus. You don't have to have all those padlocks on your door. Not saying that, you know, we shouldn't secure our house. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm talking spiritually. This is only spiritual. Because we know we have to have locks on our doors and latches and, burglar bars to keep us safe. And sometimes, you know, people have armed themselves with weapons, to keep the burglar out. But for the most part, we know that through Christ Jesus, you know, if you are anchored in God, you got enough of the Holy Ghost power in you. You can run out that demon. You can run out the burglar. He'll run out and leave his shoes. If you're anchored in Christ Jesus. See, because God said you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. But like I said, we are engaged in a warfare. And it is not from within only, but it's coming from without. And we know that inside the spirit, Paul reminds you and I, as Christians, that the weapons of the world are second best compared with the transcendent equipment we are offered by God. And that's the same thing that I just mentioned. I'm talking about having the breastplate of righteousness on. The clothes of weaponry that you can fight any devil, any demon walking. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that it's not by yours and mine and our own might. It's not by power. It's not by spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That scripture reads is coming out of the law, Zechariah 4 and 6. But we know that through the word of God, our best defense is not military hardware, but a different set of weapons. We're told by the Apostle Paul that he reminds you and I that our weapons are mighty through God when we stand therefore, having our lives girt about us with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. As I forestated, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take thee the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all power and supplication. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 6 and 14 through 18. We know that Jesus' weapons may seem old-fashioned to you and I and to the world that in which we live today. But they are weapons that can subdue the kingdoms, restore relationships, and pull down the stronghold and defeat the devil and his imps. Hallelujah. But you must have a house, hallelujah, that is a fortified house. that's not built on sand. Because a house that's built on sand, the wind and the wave can come against it, and it's going to fall. And the Bible said, and hard is it fall. We have to have a house that's built on a solid foundation of God. And our tonight's sermon again, a fortified house. I want to ask you that are listening out in our digital live audience on tonight, what kind of spiritual house are you living in? Are you living on a house that's built on sand? Or are you living in a fortified house? Are you living in a house that's secured by the Holy Spirit, secured by the Holy Ghost, secured by the power of God? Is that the kind of house that you're residing in spiritually? Because if that is the kind of house that you are residing in, then we know that God has took up residence in that fortified house. So I would just encourage you that have not transferred your deed over into the fortified house, and now you're residing in that house that is on the sand. It's time to relocate. It's time to vacate the premises of the house that is sitting on sand and move over into the fortified house. And that is a house, not the house that Jack built, but it's the house that Jesus Christ built. It's standing on a sure and a sound and a solid foundation. We know that in a large measure, this incident is a striking picture of the spiritual predicament in which a great many find themselves today. Many feel uprooted and detached, having no sense of direction, while charting a flight through space in the darkness. Despair has taken root in so many places. Confusion is widespread, existing in a maze of competitive aims and ideals. We can't seem to find our way back to our proper spiritual home. We can't find solid ground beneath our feet. An existence deeply rooted in the presence of God. But I'm here to encourage you on tonight. If you and I and us want the sure guidance, if we want to be deep-rooted on a firm ground and surface and foundation that will be everlasting, meaning to our lives, we must find the beacon that will lead you and us back to our true and proper spiritual homes. For it is this divine authority for which we must constantly seek. Paul writes about such a beacon in Ephesians. Paul prayed for the Ephesians with a compelling urgency that they will seek their root deeply in God's love. This can happen for anyone who persistently asks God for forgiveness and strength, for he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you and I, and in us. Hallelujah. It's time to move from your house that's built on sand and move on over to the house that is a fortified house built on a sure foundation. The thieves and the robbers can't come and intrude on your house because it's built a fortified house. The owners are rooted in Jesus Christ. The owners got their breastplate of righteousness on. They got their war clothes on. They got their sandals on. They got their sword and the shield on. And they ready to go battle to any demon that want to intrude upon their spiritual house. Hallelujah. So I'm encouraging you tonight to put your house as house that is on sand. Put a for sale sign on it. Put the listing out that it's for sale. Because you are looking for a new resident now. You are looking for a particular house. You are looking for a house that is a certified house. That is built rock solid on the foundation of God. Its builder and its creator is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's time to shake yourself loose. It's time to be about God's business. For time is of an essence, and time does not wait on anyone. God said we must work while it is day. Because when darkness comes, no man or woman can see how to work. Hallelujah. And I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any petition, you would want the Oldship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. This program that you are listening to right now is the Oldship of Zion. And you can send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Our web address is www.janiceWardMinistry.org. And the lines are open to anyone that want to call into the studio and talk live to the host. The lines are open. But right now we're going to change the dynamics of this program. We're going to turn you over to Hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Hallelujah. Hope and pray that this program has been a blessing truly in your daily walk with God. Because this is the only reason that I'm here, to do my Father's will, to win souls for the kingdom of God. That's the reason that I'm here. I'm not just here just for show, but I'm here because my Father are in need of me. So when he called me, I said, yes to your will, yes to your way. I didn't ask any questions. When he said, this is the assignment that I want you to do, I didn't ask him, why God, why now, why me, you know. But I said, yes, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. So we're going to turn this program over now into Hymns of Zion. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Before leaving home, you're encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at the wheel, for he is people friendly. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me down. Thank you. see.